Okay, fine. So the Gemara continues. The second answer. What's the difference between why is a wife pater? Or shouldn't she be chayev? So oh, kada de tani. So the Gemara says maybe the following. Ein beitin posgim is only isha midmeshvia. The Gemara says that a woman, the beitin can't support the wife from shviat money. Right now, what does that mean? That means money given in exchange for shmita produce, which takes on kedusha. Right, this is one of those interesting halachot in the money of shmita, that the original produce maintains its kedusha, and then whatever you buy it with, but then if you use that money to buy something else, so it's the first and last thing that have kedusha, nothing in the middle. Right, the middle won't have, but the money also has the laws of shmita and with all the implications of that in terms of what you can use it for and the like. So you can't pay her for, you can't support her from that using money of shmita. Aval nizonani etzel baila shviat, but if she's in her husband's house, so then you can. Right, then you can. Right, now why? Right, meaning when Beitin is coercing you, so that's a monetary chiyuv. But if, you know, she's living in your house, and part of it, obviously, you know, you're all eating together, so that's not considered debt, even if the chiyuv to provide for your wife is d'oraita, meaning not every chiyuv d'oraita is a chov. When you're not living together, right, this is essentially what the prenup does, right? The halachic prenup is, in order to prevent the problems of coercion, what it does is it says you're not penalized for not giving a get. It's that you are chayev to give your wife food and, you know, home and stuff like that. If you remain married living in the same house, then we assume that all your obligations are included in the fact that you're living together and you're eating the same food and things like that. But if at any point you would separate, so then we approximate, or we're pegging the obligations of sharing tzut at $150 a day, right? And then you won't be living together and you have to pay the money, uh-huh, right? Right, so that's essentially something like what the distinction is here. Is if you're living in the same house, okay, you're eating the same food. It's not a, you're yotze, you're monetary chiyuv because you're living together. That's not like a monetary chiyuv. If you're not living together, so then it's a chov, right? Right, so that's one interpretation of the Gemara, and this assumes that it's a second answer. Pnei Moshe, the Ras Aurelio, say that, no, this is, there's only one answer in the Gemara based on the gears that we have here, which is Kaman Yamar, Ein Mizon Isha Dvar Torah, Kahada Dedani, Amin Moskin, right? It's Kahada, right? So the girsa that we just read is based on the Mepharshim who changed the girsa to O, right? Like the Mara Fulda. But how would you read it as one big answer? So they say that if the husband's obligation would be biblical, he wouldn't be able to support her even willingly with Shemitah money, but the fact that we allow you to do it even willingly is because it is not a debt, right? Because it's only rabbinic. So then the Gemara says, so why can't you use Shemitah money, right? So the Stei Yoshua says that even though it's not an actual debt, when Beitin is forcing you, it looks like a debt, and it's a problem of Marat Ayin.
So wait, this,
but according to this, both Shita and the Gemara are assuming that the chiyuv to pay or to provide for your wife is derabanan. The Rambam, but interestingly, the Rambam paskins that it's d'oraita, and he still says that you can pay with shmita produce, which means that he must be following something like the Mara Fulda, that the Gemara, in the end of the day, doesn't think that providing your wife with shmita produce depends on it being derabanan. Now the Rosh Aurelio also comes up with the notion that it's Dvar Torah, right? And he's going to say later on, right, the Filo Commander, let's get to the line, but you're going to see the Ras really is in a different defense by which it's going to be D'oraita. So the Gemara says, V'yasu tuk afol sheno yafes shave pruta. Why don't you treat her like a worker whose work doesn't have the value of a shave pruta? So when the employer is giving food, it's not paying a debt, and yet it's still considered a purchase. Right? Because if he's not doing work up to Shavar Pruta, he's not considered working. But if the contract says he has the right to eat, so he can eat. And yet here we treat it as a chov because, right, again, he's not working. So maybe this is a chov, right? Meaning the wife's... right, meaning just because it's given freely doesn't mean that it's not a purchase. So Gemara says, "Hada amra shelo asu adagafal shenu yafish shavaputa." Says clearly, we are not treating her that way, right? He's giving her food because that's what you do, right? Meaning, the food given by the wife and the worker who gets less than a pruta is not a debt, but there's a difference. By the wife, it's a gift, right? And by the laborer, it's not a debt, but it is sort of like a purchase because you are doing because he's doing work for you, and therefore that is more problematic. Whereas your wife, you know, you don't really view the food that you give your wife, you know, as well a chov. So now, once the Gemara was talking about it, the Gemara continues with this machloka that we just talked about is it are you chayav to pay your wife's food? All right, feel come on the Amar yesh alav mizono. So even according to the one who says that biblically there is a chiyuv ein la alav beidira. Housing is not d'oraita. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have to provide a place for living. It means that you don't have to provide a separate place for living, but she has to live with you. You have to allow her to live with you. Now, the Rash Cirilio, as I mentioned before, has a unique sheet here, which is the time of the Inla Chatzer, Green Bipal, the Paul Rahman Akshalabalabai, the Thiganash Khadl El. Right? The point here is not that you're not Chayv in her Mizona, right? He thinks the question here isn't about the food. It's about the dwelling. Right? Because as we saw, you're only Chayv if it's your dwelling. And he thinks that this whole Sugya is really about does she own the house? Right? And if she owns the house, so then, well, it's produce coming into her house, so she should be chayev. If she doesn't own the house, she doesn't have rights to the house per se, she just lives where you live, well then, not. Kahada detani, like the following. Anashim sheshitfu shelo midat anashim. If husbands join a shituf without their wives asking, right? So very quickly, right? You know that there are two types of things that modern day people will call eruvin, right? One is an Eruv Chatzerot, the other is Shituf Maval. Right? The Eruv Chatzerot is that if you have multiple houses in the courtyard, you can't carry from the houses in the courtyard or within the courtyard unless you make an Eruv Chatzerot, where you collect food from everybody, right? And there are different standards in terms of how you build the wall around it, so I'm not going to get into that. Right? Shituf Maval is then they used to have houses that opened into courtyards, and courtyards opened to alleyways, and the alleyways opened into public thoroughfares. So Shituf Maval is where you join the Chatzerot to the Mavui. Right, and then you need, you know, by a sheet of Mavui, you need a lechi or a kora, where by a chatzir you might need more, shtei lechis or tzura petach. In general, we usually do tzura petach by all of them. Correct. No, meikra, then you need a lechi and a kora. There are reasons why we do it. We use a tzura petach because tzura petach works whether it's a Mavui or a chatzer. And the Rama says that our alleyways, right, we're not really sure what they are, right, because our houses aren't structured the way chazal, so we use a tzura petach would work whether it's a chatzer or a mavui. So we use tzura petach everywhere.
Fascinating. But
There are other reasons for it, but yes. I mean, tzura petach works in any of the cases. But no, if something was really a mavui, you would only need a lechi or a kora. You don't need a tzura petach. Tzura petach works also, right? But it doesn't work by a chatzer. A chatzer needs shtei lechayayim or tzura petach or whatever. So at any rate, if they join without their wives, she doesn't shiv, it works. Nashim shit shalom, not anashim, but if wives join without their husbands, ain't shutaf on shitov, it doesn't work. Why? Because the assumption is the husbands are the owners of the house. Now the Gemara said, but wait a second, if you say that the wife has a claim, idaraitas, and then she should be a partial owner, and her shitov should work. So what does that show? She doesn't own the house. Now, the Rambam paskins and Shulchan paskins that you are chayev. How could that be? Well, the reason is because the Bavli seems to disagree, right? The Bavli seems to say that a wife is entitled to it. How does the Bavli explain that a woman can't make a shituf? So the Gemara says, lo kasha hada asar, hada lo asar, right? So if you look right to the Gemara there, I mean, it's different positions, right? So, right, but the Gemara asks this question, one has to do in terms of like, right, Nidarim, Machin Nistavra, etc. So he says, right, again, Rashi just says that, right, the Asar is Albani Amavi Lobin and Daitim, and even Lo Asar, right, because Hashem of Od, right, is, did he forbid it on them? Right, again, there are reasons, local reasons to explain it there. Now this follows the Gra, the Ragachavar, who think that the Gemara is not a continuation of the previous one. According to this, Yerushalmi is saying the woman doesn't have a claim on the dwelling, which is against the standard halacha. Right, and it goes against Poskim, fine. Now, as we saw, not everyone agrees with this, so the Mefarshim try to come up with different defenses. So very quickly, the Mara Fulda, if you remember, right, had said that, right, according to Rav, the owner can't snack on the figs, but his wife and his children can because he owns the courtyard and they don't. So then the Gemara says, Afilu kaman di amar ein la mizonot ein la lav beit dira, right? He reads it as rhetorical, which is, how could the woman not? She is an owner of it, right? And therefore she should be similar like her husband. The Gemara says, that since a woman has a claim on her husband, she must be considered part of it, and that has to be wrong. Why? Because she can't make a shituf. So she's not. So therefore, according to this, the Gemara would accept that he has a claim on it, but she's not an owner, right? So the way the Marfolda says is, look, there's a difference between having a claim and a right to live somewhere than being an owner of said place. Okay, Tani. V'chulan, the Braita says, in all of these crops, if they were going to be processed in the field, shenichnu misadu le'ir, and part of them were brought from the field into the city, nitbalu, they become tevel when they come into the house or courtyard. And the Mishnah had said that the wife and the children can eat them without giving maaser, right? Because in this case, the owner had taken the figs in the city to be dried. So if the owner had left the figs in the field to dry, and it was only the wife and children who took them from the field to the city, they wouldn't be allowed to, right? Because, again, the whole point is there's a split between the person taking it and not. Now, again, this is a very hard line to read. That's the Mara Fulda. The Rosh Terilio has it as follows. V'chulon, all of these people, the owner, the wife, and his children, the workers, shenichnu misadu l'chatzer, if they came in the field in the courtyard holding figs that were not meant for a drying, nitbalu, they become tevel. And one might have thought that the wife and children don't own the courtyard, and therefore them bringing it is irrelevant. Kamash v'lon, it's no. Whoever is the one bringing it in, then his dot does matter. And therefore, if he brings it in or she brings it in, then it is nitbal. Okay, so the Mishnah had said the wife and children can eat if they were going to be dried elsewhere, but that implies that the figs were passing the courtyard to be eaten elsewhere, they would not be able to, because that would be Gemar Malacha, right? It's only because they're going to be dried, and therefore there's no Gemar Malacha. So Matnit is a Rebbe, and this follows Rebbe. Which one? The Tani, Heyudainim in the Nasadah, that if you bring figs from the field, La Ochlan Bachatzer Shena Mishtameret, you brought in figs intending to eat them in a courtyard which is not guarded, the shachach nisan dochabai, you brought it home. Oshach nisan mitnok, or your kids brought it home. Harein machzirin lemom koman ve ochel, you can bring them back and eat them. So lo amru ela shogig, that's because it's shogig. What does that imply? Hamazid asur, that if you intentionally take it through your house as a shortcut to get somewhere else, even though you can eat it somewhere else, that's already gmar malacha. And your chayev, so mantanita, and who held that, right? That meaning, right? As long as it isn't like, right? As long as it's going to be eaten, right, and not dried, basically, you know, you are considered, it's considered processed, right? Even though you're still planning on taking it somewhere else. So who holds that? So Mantanina Rebbe. Titani, Havi Tamin Asad. Because he holds that if you bring figs in the field, and they have here in the Chatzero, and you bring in through your Chatzer, La'ochon Barosh Gago, to eat them on your rooftop. Rebbe Mechayev. Rebbe says you're still Chayev, right? Because you're coming through and you're planning on eating them, which means there is Gmar Malacha because you're eating them as is. And even though you're not, and you're passing through your chatzer, even though you're not planning on eating the chatzer, that's kviyah. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, poter. He says it's poter. Why? Because he says bringing to a courtyard is only chayiv if that is where, that's its end goal. Right? Otherwise, it's just not chashiv. I don't care that you happen to be going through a chatzer, this is not your end point. So, havi, man, tana, havamir, te'inim, chatzer, lekto. So who is the Tana who says if you carry it through the courtyard to dry them, the wife and the children can eat them? Halolix, which implies that if you're carrying them through to not dry on the roof, theft, but to eat them, chayav. Rebbe. Again, that would be Rebbe. So Ula bar Yishmol b'shem Lazar, Rebbe v'Rebbe Yossi b'Yehuda, yumachniz na'kokol l'achor ha'gagot. Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi were once bringing a basket of produce through the back of the roof to eat it without giving maaser, right? This way they were not going through the courtyard. Ra'otan Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi saw them. Amar lahen, Ruman Echel Rishonim. This is something we find in the Bavli as well, which is look how different you are from the original generations. There would be Kiva Yelokeach Shlosha Minin Bepruta. He would buy three species for a pruta. Bishvil La'aser Mikol Mimin. In order, right, he would buy token amounts of different species in order to be mafresh. And you're coming up with technicalities, right? The Bavli's version of this is, this is one of the, let's read you the Bavli's version. Second. Fast way to get it. There we go. Spelling. Yeah, here. It didn't come up when I searched Bracha, but it came when I searched Shas, but I just needed it to open. Anyways, so is Bo Re'e Shelo Kidor Darishonim Dor Acharonim. Look, that the original generations are not like ours. Dor Darishonim, I machnir red and derech traks men kedei lechayv and meiser. They would go out of their way to create a chi of meiser. Dor Acharonim, machnir red and derech gago derech karpifot, kele patron. Minamiser. Again, based on this rule of Yerah Pnei Abayit. Now, this is one of those classic Gemara that's part of the Yerida Dadara, right? There are certain Gemara, like this one, that point to the notion that the earlier generations were greater than us. There are other Gemara that imply not that way, right? Such as Gemaras that say, Makom Minichin Larvatena Lit Gadar Behen, right? That we can add to the halacha and, come up with new Gzerot and new Svarot and the like because the earlier Chum didn't do everything. So either you say there's a tension, or, right, to give you just one solution, and this is Professor Lyman, put an article together with all these, but it's found in Tosafot Rid, based on the very famous mashal of what is it, Saint Charles of something, right? The midgets on the shoulders of giants, mashal. Right, is that you can hold that both are, right, yeah, it's Bernard of Chartres, right? Is that they could both be true, is that maybe the early generations were greater and yet we can still accomplish things that they couldn't, right? Because, right, we're building on them and therefore we can still accomplish things they couldn't. That doesn't mean that personally we're better, right? So that's one of the ways of being Miyashiv between them. But anyways, the Yerushalmi's version is slightly different. So he says, Mali lachare gago. What's the difference of why do you have to go on the roof? Shouldn't you have been able to just go to the courtyard with intention to eating it somewhere else? So Velo Rabbi Yossi Reyudi, isn't that Yossi Reyuda? So he said, yeah, but begin Rebbe Davi Ime. Rebbe was with him, and Rebbe was the one who held that if you pass through planning going somewhere else, you're chayiv, and he wanted to be putter also. So Chamtun Chatzava, certain old men saw the two of them. Amr Lon, Yahavan Liatun, can you give me some of the food in the basket? Amr Lay in. Amr Len, Lavuchon, Vishmayat Lavtun, Elali, and now the guy who gave them Musar. He said, aha, right? You're willing to give me, but you won't give to God, right? Meaning, what are you doing? And Marafulda says that this is, might be Eliyahu, right? Eliyahu Anavi, who's coming to give them Musar. right? So... yeah. Now, obviously you have to ask, why did they do this? So the Or Sameach suggests the reason is because they lived after the Korban HaBayit, and therefore everyone was still Tameh. And if everyone was Tameh, they were worried that if they were Mafresh, the Trum would be Tameh, and therefore they thought it would be better to...
just not have
it. Right, not to have it. But the interesting thing is that according to that, the Gemara seems to hold that despite that, they were wrong. Right? That despite that, they were wrong, which only begs the question of why that would be the case. Now, part of it might come down to what we've talked about in the past, is the split between, what's it called? Between Netina and Hafrasha, right? That maybe there's a value of Hafrasha even without Netina. Yeah, so it's
but also Kohanim are
so this is the Or Sameach who says this, right? And he compares it, right? That they thought it's like nowadays that you can make a mum in a bechor, right? Because you can't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. Anyways, but he says that that's clearly a machloket. The Gemara has a different sheet than no. The matam mum bechor b'zman hazeh over below tase, right? That I feel that. Right, which means that it could be that there's a machloket, that some people hold that it's good to avoid it, and other people say, no, if there's kedusha, so then the better thing to do is, you know, to do the mitzvah, and whatever happens, happens, right? And maybe that's part of the, right, machloket. Derech Hamuna there has another possibility. Right, he says. Right, he notes this machloket. Right, is it better to do it betuma or to avoid the situation as well? Yeah. Okay. Fine. There's a lot we could talk about. Fine. Should we leave it there? Yeah, I think let's leave that off there. Okay.